As we hear the opening of John's gospel, we are reminded that words have power. After all, think about the beginning of the world. God did not think things into being. God didn't wave a magic wand around and create the world and the universe and all that is. We are told very plainly that God spoke things into being. His breath put life into things. God said, and so it is. It's the pattern of those first opening verses of our Holy Scripture. So from the very beginning of our understanding of God, even before Jesus came among us, we begin to realize that words have power, particularly the words of God. And we know in our own lives, perhaps in less dramatic ways, words can hurt. They can tear down. They can destroy. But words also can give life. They can affirm. They can raise up. Too often, our life is filled with too many words. There's that wonderful scene in the play and then the film Amadeus, where the Emperor of Austria is criticizing, what's his name? Mozart, thank you. I want to say Moses, but that's not it. criticizing Mozart when he said, too many notes. Maybe, just maybe, we have too many words. We're constantly being talked at. We hear it on television, those of us who still listen to the radio. We even have it in church. One of the criticisms of our liturgy is that it's very wordy, that we're constantly talking. And so we need to introduce moments of silence. And when we do that here in worship, is it because the priest forgot what was next? Or perhaps that can't find its place in the book? But rather, it is often intentional. In fact, when we look at our prayer book, we often see the phrase, silence may be kept. And that silence is there for a purpose, so that we can consider the words that we just heard and prepare ourselves for the words we are about to hear or say. So words are important, and we can't forget that. And John reminds us of that in today's gospel lesson. In the beginning, he says, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Of course, he is speaking of Jesus Christ. As God spoke the world into being, so too, as Jesus comes to us, he is showing us by his life, by his actions and his words, his teachings, who God is. And so his very life becomes one giant word, as it were, to demonstrate to us, to give us a deep knowledge in our hearts and in our minds of who God is and how God loves us. John then goes on to use another important image in our life, and that is the image of light. Light is an interesting thing. John says, "Their light was in the world, and the darkness could not overcome it." Darkness, we begin to realize, is a negative reality. It is an absence of light. So the minute a little bit of light comes in, it is clear. We can see it. We often want to go toward it. It is important then for us to realize that the darkness that we see in our world, the things that we might attribute to the dark arts or to the darkness of mind or heart or even to evil intent, that these things are not as powerful as the light, because the light can never be overcome. That gives us a sense of confidence, because even as we go out into the chaos of the world, we begin to realize that we carry deep within us the very light of Christ. It is symbolically given to us at our baptism, as a candle is lit from the Easter candle, the representation of the light of Christ in our midst, and it is given to each and every new Christian. And sometimes it is said, we give you this light of faith to be kept burning brightly, because it is that one candle, sometimes in the darkness of a room, that can illuminate and lighten every people, every person. It is important for us then to realize that because Christ came among us, and as we hear from St. Paul and St. John say, we are not slaves or servants of our God. No, we are children. And like children bear the image of their parents, certain traits and certain ideas, certain values that form us when we are in our families. And then we go out into the world and we do the same with others. That the values, the traits, the ways of God need to be our ways. And it is in that that the world begins to see the importance of what Jesus came to do among us. When he teaches us that the highest value we can have is love. As you've heard me say so many times, not the sentimental love of a Hallmark card, but the real, tough, and abiding love that is willing to withstand the darkness for the sake of another, is able even to offer oneself up for the sake of another. That is the ultimate test of love. And it is the love that God shows for us. As we hear also from St. John, God gave his own Son so that we might see the light, we might hear the word, we might become children of God, even as Jesus is Son of God. One of the early fathers of the church put it this way: God became a human, God became man, so that humans could become as God. Not as gods, not that we are raised up to be some sort of minor gods all over the place, but rather that we would be raised up and partake of the very life and nature of God, and in so doing, become the presence of God in the world. That is the highest value of the church. Not the institutions or even the works that we do in particular, but that in our manner of life and in the values we hold and espouse, we become as light for the world. We, the children of God, seek to show the world the way to become heirs of everlasting life. So when this first Sunday in Christmastide, we reflect deeply on what we have just celebrated on Christmas Day, we see what implications it has for our daily lives, and we try to renew again our response to God's call to become God's children. As the infant is born in our hearts each and every year, so too we ought to be growing as Jesus did in wisdom and in grace, that as we receive the grace of Christ, the world may receive from us grace upon grace. The world may receive from us the very love of God.